Let's turn now to James chapter 1. As we are journeying through the Bible, we've come now to practical James. And I love him because he is so down-to-earth practical. Practical Christianity. It's got to work if it's any good. And faith, if it has any value, has to work. And so we'll be looking at the works of faith in this letter from James. Good time for you to get started. And at least take the book of James, only 5 chapters, and read it through with us and study it through with us. And great opportunity as we start a new book of the Bible for you to get started going through the whole Bible. And 10 years from now, you can say, well, I started in the book of James 10 years ago, and here I am all the way through. This morning, we'd like to look at chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. As James said, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The psalmist wrote, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. When we declare our faith or our trust in God, God is going to put our faith and trust to the test. Do I really trust him? Would I trust him if he should strip me of my possessions? Would I trust him if he would strip me of my family? Just how much do I trust him? I often sing, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee, how I've proved thee o'er and o'er. But God allows our trust to be proved. And many times I think that we as Christians have a higher estimate and an opinion of ourselves than is what is actual reality. And so God puts us to the test to reveal to us where we fall short. When I think I stand, God oftentimes puts me to the test to make me realize that I don't have the strength that I thought I had, the abilities that I thought I possessed. And I learn more and more to just put my trust in him and to look to him for my help and for my strength. We in life experience many testings. Here James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And these temptations or testings take many diverse forms. But the purpose of the test is not to destroy you, but to allow you to know the truth about yourself and to discover the strength that you can have when you put your trust completely in the Lord. When they were building the space shuttle, they knew that as the shuttle would re-enter into the atmosphere, that the nose of the shuttle would be exposed to extreme pressure and to extreme heat. And so they designed to put these tiles, glue these tiles onto the nose of the space shuttle. And they had to withstand tremendous heat and tremendous pressure. And so they put the tiles through all kinds of tests. Test for the stress that would be put upon them, and test for the tremendous heat that they would be exposed to as the spaceship came back into our atmosphere. The purpose wasn't to destroy the tiles. It was to prove whether or not they would withstand the heat and the pressure of reentry. And it was important that they be tested in order to determine, will they be able to withstand the pressures and thus those lives that are in the space capsule preserved, because they will be able to take the heat and the stress of reentry. God allows us to go through testings, not to destroy us. That's never God's purpose of testing, but to prove the truth about ourselves. I might be bragging about certain things in my life of commitment to the Lord. I might say, well, I love the Lord more than anything in all the world. Well, it's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to truly love him more than anything in all the world. And sometimes when I make my boast, God will then put me to the test. Now, when I make my boast, I might believe it. I may have said that so much, everything I have belongs to God. Good thing to say, but I may say that and I might even believe, well, yes, everything I have belongs to the Lord. But then the Lord will put me to the test. He'll take some things away and say, God, why are you taking that away from me? He's just saying, well, you said it was mine, so I'm just, claiming it. So oftentimes God puts us to the test to prove what is in our hearts. As God said to the children of Israel, for 40 years I took you through the wilderness to prove you. Not to prove to God. He knew all the while the things that were in their hearts. They didn't know it. And so he put them to the test to show them what was the truth about themselves. The testings do prove to me the faithfulness of God when I cling to him. So often when I am tested, my first response and reaction is to say, well, Lord, I can do that. I can handle that. Just watch me, Lord. I'll show you what I can do. And I fall flat on my face, and he picks me up, and he dusts me off, and he says, okay, let's try that again. Only this time, don't trust in yourself, but trust in me. I'm able to hold you. I'm able to help you. And I discover that with his help, I can do what I couldn't do in myself and of myself. And I learn the strength of God. And then I learn to rely upon that strength of God rather than relying upon my own strength. You see, when I rely upon my strength, it's always limited. There's always the possibility a failure. But when I rely upon his strength, that's unlimited. And there is no possibility of his failing. So testings are used by God to play an important part in our Christian development. God allowed his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be tested. We read that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, tempted to use this power for his own glory, tempted to do something spectacular to draw attention to himself, tempted to try to gain the glory of the world. And Jesus passed the test. But he went through the same kind of temptations we experience. The temptation of trying to gain glory and fame in the world, to do something that will draw attention to ourselves, to use the powers that God might give us for our own selfish ends. Jesus was tested and he passed. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that Jesus was tempted in all points just like we are, yet without sin. And because he suffered temptations, he is able to help us when we are tempted. Abraham's devotion to God was tested. When God said to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering sacrifice unto me in a mountain that I will show you." Abraham was sorely tested by the Lord as far as his devotion to God. "Abraham, will you give me everything, that which you love the most?" The faith was tested because God had said to Abraham, "Through Isaac shall thy seed be called." Isaac had not yet had any children. If he offers him as a sacrifice, how can the word of God be true that through Isaac the seed will be called? And so Abraham reasoned in his mind, God has to bring children to Isaac. I know he's asked me to sacrifice him. It must be that God will raise him from the dead, because God will keep his word. But his faith in the word of God was tested. Often we sing, "I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." But when it comes to actually surrendering, many times we find ourselves holding on to certain things and unwilling to give them up for the Lord. One thing to sing it, another thing to do it. Job's faith was severely tested when Satan was allowed to strip him of everything. And having lost his fortune, having lost his family, having lost his friends, Job fell on his face and he said, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job passed the test. Joseph's commitment to purity was tested when he was there in Egypt serving a man whose name was Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife was infatuated with him, sought to seduce him, and daily put him under pressure, desiring a sexual relationship with him. And his purity was severely tested But Joseph passed the test. My brethren, count it all joy when you experience diverse temptations. What should be my attitude in these times of testing? The scripture tells me to count it all joy. I oftentimes find when I'm going through a test, I find myself complaining. I find it difficult to say, oh, praise the Lord, I'm going through the most difficult test. I'm so happy I'm being tested so severely. You know, that's not easy for me. And yet, it is something that the scripture exhorts me to do, not just here. But when Peter wrote his first letter, he said, beloved, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So, again, we are told to rejoice as we look at the net effect of the testings. Now, Peter just didn't write that, but he practiced that. When the early church was experiencing some persecution, and Peter and some of the apostles were arrested, the magistrates, they did not know exactly how to handle these fellows. They had threatened them earlier with severe consequences if they didn't quit preaching Jesus Christ to the people. But here they are caught again preaching Jesus Christ. They've disobeyed the court order. So they've arrested them, and they really are in a dilemma of how to stop them. When one of the wise teachers, Gamaliel, a man who had a great reputation among the Jews, a respected teacher, said, men, listen to me. If these men are not of God, we don't have to worry. This whole thing will blow over in just a short time. If they are of God, then we will find ourselves in that unenviable position of fighting against God. So I just say, let's just let them go. So we read there in Acts 5:40 that they agreed to the counsel of Gamaliel. And when they had called the apostles in before them again, they beat them. And once again commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they, the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter just didn't say to rejoice. He also rejoiced when he experienced that heavy testing. Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. So he tells them to rejoice and to leap for joy when they find themselves hated or reproached, or people avoid them because of their witness for Jesus Christ. Rejoice because you've got a great reward in heaven. Again, the joy comes from looking beyond the testing to the fruit and the result that it will bring in my life. The result of the testing, we are told, is patience. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, said, "We glory in tribulations." That is, we rejoice in them, also knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Patience is one of those basic foundations of the Christian faith and the Christian experience. It's one of the first lessons that God seeks to teach us. God is in no hurry to accomplish his eternal purposes. What he is going to do, he will do in his own good time. Now, I am not so patient. I want to see things done right away, preferably before 1 o'clock this afternoon. And I find it oftentimes difficult to wait on the Lord. And yet, how many times in the scriptures are we exhorted to wait on the Lord, to wait patiently for him? It seems like John the Baptist was getting a little impatient with Jesus as he was sitting there in prison going through that testing. He sent his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one that we are looking for, or shall we start looking for someone else?" In other words, John was saying, "Come on, let's get the show on the road. I'm tired of sitting in this cell. I want out of here." And he was getting impatient with the testing that he was going through. And like John, we so often get impatient because it seems like God is taking his time and is not in a hurry to get his purposes accomplished. And he is so long-suffering. That's one of his characteristics and traits. In fact, he sort of announces himself, and when he declared himself to Moses, he declared that he was patient and long-suffering. And the scriptures exhort us to be patient. James, in the 5th chapter, in verse 7 of this letter, said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. So be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near." I find myself very impatient for the coming of the Lord. I look at the world in which we live today, and I think of my grandchildren growing up in this kind of a world, and I say, "Oh, Jesus, come quickly." But James said, "Have patience. Establish your souls." In the last of the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." John responded, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." I'm with John. "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Again, David said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But I find that difficult. And yet I find it necessary. Because you see, whenever I don't wait, whenever I decide to take things into my own hands, I always make a bigger mess of them than they were to begin with. I need to learn to wait upon God in all things. The Lord, in announcing himself to Moses, said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. That's the God we serve. He is merciful, he is gracious, he's long-suffering. Now, I appreciate the fact that God is long-suffering with me. It's just that he's so long-suffering with you that gives me the problem. In Numbers 14:18, Moses said to the people concerning God, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. David in Psalm 86 said, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. When Paul was writing to the church in Rome, he said, do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Don't you know that it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? So, my brethren, count it all joy when you find yourself in diverse testings, trials, tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working patience. And then he said, but let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. As patience begins to have her perfect work in my life, that is, as I begin to be patient and wait upon God, I find that my life becomes complete and I am lacking in nothing. And that's God's ultimate purpose for these testings, to bring you into spiritual maturity and into a relationship with him where you discover the faithfulness of God in every circumstance in which you are placed. So the next time you find yourself going through a heavy testing, count it all joy. And if you can, you're getting close to the purposes of God being accomplished in you. Father, we pray that you'll help us. We find that it is not our natural bent to rejoice in tribulations, to count it all joy when we're going through heavy trials. And so, Lord, we need your help. Help to look beyond the present adverse circumstances to the fruit of righteousness that will come in our lives as the result of our being proved faithful in these circumstances. And so, Lord, let patience have its perfect work in our lives. And teach us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to wait patiently for you, to deliver and to help, and to show your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Perhaps some of you are going through a real heavy testing today. And you've been calling up your friends and pouring out your woes. You've been so depressed and down, you're sure the Lord's forsaken you. The Lord says, count it all joy. And so, with the help of God, rather than just focusing in on the heavy experience, let's focus beyond it to that which God is going to work out in our lives as we put our trust in him to deliver us, and rejoicing in the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord strengthen you, and may he help us to be everything that he wants us to be. May he help us to put our trust and reliance in him completely, that we might live for his glory.